cows come in. Yeah, how exciting.
Yeah. We are going to start our board meeting tonight, and we welcome all of you to come and take time out of your summer evening when you'd rather be home, but we appreciate you being here. And we have all board members present and Superintendent Davis and Jared Black. We will begin by standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now the enjoyable part of our evening, we'll turn the time over to Superintendent Davis to recognize our academic all-state.
Thank you. So just when you thought the school year was over and all the awards have been given out, we have one last recognition for our academic all-staters for spring sports. We have five to award tonight. This is the school board recognition. These student athletes have already been recognized by their schools, by the Activity Association, and perhaps most importantly, by the teams that they represent. I can't say enough about these student athletes and the time that they put in, not only in their sport, but also in their schoolwork. It takes tremendous dedication to reach the heights of their sports as seniors in varsity programs, while at the same time maintaining the highest levels of academic achievement. These students are at or near, very near, 4.0 for a cumulative GPA over the course of their high school career. They compete with outstanding student athletes in their division from throughout the state. There are only 10 of these awards in each classification, so it really adds value to know that we have this caliber of students. So tonight we want to recognize these students. I will call their name. If you'll come up, I'll present you with this award, and then if you will receive some congratulations from each of the board members. So first of all, in girls golf, Lainey Jensen.
Congratulations, Lainey.
This isn't the first academic all-state award.
Congratulations, Lainey.
Yes, congratulations.
Great job.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
In softball, Addison Healy. You have to be a good athlete.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Great job.
Congratulations.
Good job.
Congratulations.
In boys soccer, James Bailey. We'll make sure that James gets that award. Oh, he's on a mission.
A couple of years.
I thought it was him coming around.
Yeah.
In boys track and field, Landon Fairbanks. And in girls track and field, Alexis Dalton. We'll make sure that they get their awards.
Pardon?
Superintendent, could we have all of them stand together?
I think we can do that.
We can come right up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on up.
Come back up.
Where do you want us?
Come over here.
Okay.
Yeah, come over here. Okay, you got it, okay.
Get where you need to be.
Thank you.
We've got lots of time.
Yes.
Get the picture, that's most important.
They deserve lots more than just that.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Well done.
Fantastic.
Very proud of you. Also, while everyone's here, we would like to honor the employees and volunteers of the year from our district.
Okay, that's me again. We have reactivated an awards program in our school district. We can't do enough to honor our valued employees, whether it's the teacher in the classroom or the worker in the lunchroom or the custodians doing what they do to provide a safe, clean environment. The volunteers that spend time in our schools simply because they love and want to help children. We're just so blessed to have the caliber of employees and volunteers that we have in our district. And it means a lot for us as a district and as a school board to recognize these employees at the end of the school year, those that have risen to great heights and deserve some level of recognition. We run an open process. We allow nominations to come from any of our stakeholders, whether it be fellow employees or parents or community members, administrators. And we allow for a pretty lengthy period of time to collect those nominations. And then as a administrative team, we go through those and ultimately select those that we think are this year's best representatives. And we're very pleased to honor those award winners tonight. We have recognized them in their schools, in front of their students and their peers, and in some cases family members. And that's been a wonderful experience for us. And so I'd like to present awards tonight to the winners and have them come up. And also, I would encourage you maybe to say a few words about your experience and how humble you are to receive the award.
We needed a picture of the facial.
Now that we've got you here. Well, last year we kind of didn't allow that, and we had some people that really wanted to say some things. They had some pretty strong feelings about what they were doing. So, anyway, first of all, this is our Volunteer of the Year award, and this goes to a very dedicated PTA volunteer, president of the PTA of Cottonwood, but far beyond what you would expect from a PTA officer. When she was nominated, it was noted that she is always there to arrange and to prepare and to organize not just the function itself, but to organize people to get it done. John Hughes, principal at Cottonwood, has said many times that when he has something of that nature, he just turns it over to Pam and it gets done. And he also pointed out that she loves to dress up with the kids on dress up day, and the kids love her when she does that. And we just completely appreciate all that she has done for the kids of Cottonwood. So Pam Howard is our volunteer. Okay, but at least shake the hand.
I do. Thank you very much. I love being at the school. I love being with the children. And 100% I loved every time I was in there. And I did love to dress up and play. And it was good. I would never do it for anybody else. But I can. Thank you.
Congratulations. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm just going to pop here for a good idea. Don't say anything scary.
The classified employee of the year, we didn't have to look very far to find Carrie has an office just down the hall. And she's there bright and early every morning, especially in the summer when we start at 7 a.m. And I just can't begin to summarize everything she does for the school district and the way that what she does trickles down to kids. She may not be in schools a lot, but her work certainly touches lives and really keeps our district moving forward, not just stagnant by any means, but moving forward, progressing. She's involved in several committees in addition to the work she does. She brings innovation to our school district and in some cases sanity to our school district. We appreciate that. We appreciate the social contributions, her sense of humor, when she prepares lunch for meetings. She does it all. So please give it up for Carrie Allred. I should tell you what she does here. She's in the business department, and she pays all the invoices, and she pays the bills.
Thank you.
Feel free to give your speech.
No speech, just these guys are great to work with. I feel like you come to work and work with family every day, so it's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie. Appreciate you. We know you're a big part of our team.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It looks like you take very good care of them.
She writes our checks too.
Yeah. She's really patient when you call about the warrants.
Yeah.
Our secondary teacher of the year came all the way from Green River and brought his beautiful family. We had the honor of going over to Green River High School and assembling the faculty and all of the students to recognize Dale Roundy for winning this award. It was one of the highlights of the year for me personally. Dale has been a science teacher at Green River for 8 years?
13.
Okay, 8 plus. More than 8, 13 years. That's even better. That's even more kids who's benefited from your teaching skill. He has taught every science course offered at Green River. He has started the robotics program at Green River just this year, which I believe he has enjoyed. I hope I got that one right. And the kids love it as well. One of the very impressive things I've learned about Dale is that he volunteers. Not only with the robotics club working after school hours, but he also works, volunteers at the community center where he tutors students. And that is well beyond expectations, but that's what good teachers do. So we appreciate you, Dale. Come on up, Dale Roundy, ladies and gentlemen.
We ought to get another picture. The kids want to get in on that.
It's a family.
No.
Yeah, why don't we get the whole family?
Well, you put me up here. It's a little more intimidating than being in a room full of teenagers.
She's a hard audience.
Yeah.
We gotta come over here.
Come here, Carter.
I want to get a picture of her too. All right. Right.
Beautiful family.
Is this all of Green River?
Do I need to say more than that?
If you want to.
I was shocked to get it, to be honest. We have a really good staff down there, and so thanks to Casey for his nomination. I mean, it actually means a lot, just because it just makes me feel good to know that somebody thinks I'm worth it.
Congratulations. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for
all
you do.
Yeah. Thanks, Dale. You're doing a great job. Thanks.
And our final award tonight is for our Elementary Teacher of the Year, as well as the Emory School District Teacher of the Year. Two very prestigious awards. And these go to Stephanie Roper. Stephanie is a Title I teacher. She works Title I in three schools: Cottonwood, Castledale, and Farron Elementary. After having starting her career in Farron as an aide and a teacher, different grade levels, and along the way earning a master's degree, several certifications. The thing that first impressed me about Stephanie was how she worked creating individualized student learning plans, working with colleagues. It was the beginning of PLC work in our school district and has served as a model for what we are initiating now in our district. It was the first time that I'd seen it in action and the first time that I saw how effective it was. And I appreciate that so much. When I talk about PLCs, I often reference the work that Stephanie did years ago. She's highly regarded. She works with others. She collaborates. But everything she does is with the best interest of the child in mind. I'm proud to present this award to Stephanie, and she is entering a competition for the Utah Teacher of the Year. And she will also be honored at the Utah Rural Schools Association Rural Schools Conference this summer in Cedar City. So come on up, Stephanie.
This is really such an honor, and I have the best job in the world, and every day I'm surrounded by amazing district personnel and administrators and staff and teachers and students who make my job so much easier, and I just want to thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Of our highest regards.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank
fantastic.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now the fun part's over.
Yeah, the fun part is over. You're welcome to stay for the budget hearing. It's
even more fun.
Riveting.
It's captivating, but if you want to go, feel free to go. We understand this is...
Need a good nap, stick around.
Yeah.
Jared's pretty excited.
I was gonna say, you insult Jared.
Thanks again.
Yes.
Thank you. Have a safe drive, man.
Oh, I would too.
Yeah, I'll run that.
See you, Bob.
Good news, I was... I can come back to that.
Okay.
They're not...
Okay, we need a motion to adjourn regular meeting. Are you gonna do your, let's let you do your...
We first have a presentation.
Okay, yes, let's do that, sorry. No, no, let's do that.
Unless you wanna do that during the action.
No, let's do it.
Okay.
Before...
Which one?
Oh, we missed a couple, sorry. Adult high school graduates, I'm sorry.
Under recognition, I just wanted to note that we have five students who have completed adult high school.
All right.
And received their diplomas during the course of the year. And these are people that, for various reasons, were determined to get their high school diploma, went back, worked at our adult high school online credit work, and they didn't all graduate at the same time. But as they completed the requirements, they were honored in separate certificate programs, so wanted the board to know that.
Great, that's fantastic. Before we go to public hearing, let's go to Green Room High School discipline policy.
You could have just skipped that.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry, Casey.
That's okay. I can... As we've been dealing with juvenile justice and the changes they're making with discipline, we've looked at our discipline policy and it doesn't really work any longer. I think I sent our policy, and as I've discussed, been discussing things with Jed, and I've been talking with Steve Gordon and Dean at Emory High School, Jed thought it was probably best that we maybe do things similar and kind of have the same policy as Emory. Looking at their policy, though, after going to the combined meeting with DCFS and everyone, and talking with the juvenile justice, I'm not sure that everything there is in compliance as well, just because with their policy, after like a student is suspended and a referral is made to juvenile court, I'm not sure on Emory High's policy as well, if they go through every step prior to making a juvenile court referral, mm-hmm. that has to be made, because with the new proposal, or with our new, I think it's Senate Bill 132. I can't keep all of the numbers straight. You have to go through three tiers prior to making, and I don't know if the category one, if we go through the first offense with a written referral, and then the second offense, if that is actually three tiers before we make a referral. You know, that's the problem now with the new with the new bill, is there's certain things and certain documentation that has to be in place prior to sending anything to juvenile court now. So after I went to that meeting and after looking at the policy, I'm thinking, okay, now I might have to come up with more tiers and be more specific than just stating we're going to write referrals, suspend, and I asked Dean, I said, do you really suspend a kid after the first referral, and he said, yeah, we do. And it's an out-of-school suspension, which in my mind, prior to speaking with them, I always thought an in-school suspension was better because an out-of-school suspension to me was just a day off. But speaking with Sean Jess with the court, he said, honestly, when you take things to court, the out-of-school suspensions hold up more in court. If you're sending kids to juvenile detention, the out-of-school suspensions are what they look at more. I think kids get more work done in an in-school suspension if I can be there making sure they're doing work. But if you're looking at an eventual eventual juvenile court referral, which I hate for that to be what's happening, but that's the only, this year, not having that, I had kids just out of control. So I guess what we're looking at is making things more like what Emory High is doing, but I'm worried that we don't have all the tiers in place for what the juvenile court wants and what Senate Bill 123 is called.
What does the bill
132.
State?
132.
What does the bill state?
It states that you have to have, in order to make a juvenile court referral, you have to have a three-tier program in place. That's truancy as well. So truancy states you have to have gone through three steps prior to making any referral to juvenile court. So you have to, and you have to have everything documented. So we can start making those referrals again. So we have the 2 years now in order before 132 is reenacted, you know. So we have that back, but we have a lot of documentation and those steps to take, which is fine. We should be showing that we're making that intervention and helping kids get to school and showing that we're doing due process at school prior to just shoving them to juvenile court. But
it looks like Emory High, at least in Category 1, has three tiers, plus then the fourth tier is a...
It's the Category 1, if a student commits an offense such as, but not limited to, the following, you know, first offense is a written referral, second offense is a written referral, and then...
Suspension.
One day.
But, and then a suspension. And then
the third is,
the third
is
a written referral completed, and then it is so
a 3-day suspension, then the fourth one.
And then the fourth
court.
One is so is that enough for three
that's
tiers?
I think so.
Yvonne, can you help us out here?
One thing that we have to keep in mind on that, though, one of the big changes from that, again from
right.
the same meeting and from
yeah.
meeting with these different people, it can't just be. Steps. These programs, these tiers have
mm-hmm.
to be evidence-based.
Yeah, they do. So
that's,
we have to show what we're doing.
Some of the programs do not qualify as
right.
evidence-based.
Right.
So simply, that I think that's one of the tricky
Yeah, and
things.
That's the problem is just suspension.
Yeah.
It can't just be
uh-uh.
suspension.
It
has to
that,
be, we're giving them, so, you know, we have to show that they're either attending ADAPT.
Yeah.
So if
there are these
if we have this referral, then the referral is we're sending them to ADAPT, and that was in the referral.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that. And then with the referral, it's ADAPT and a 1-day suspension. I think that if we're writing that, then that could be included in the referral, and that's the evidence-based.
Right. The other interesting thing is that there were several programs that we hadn't previously even been aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Some other resources out in the community that I think were really important for us to learn more about that we weren't aware of,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that are potentially helpful to us, that are also those evidence-based ones that we have to have
okay.
in order to meet
right.
these the criteria to then have it be something that can possibly be referred
qualifies.
To juvenile court. But without that,
we can't.
They won't look at it.
Able to refer,
okay.
right,
and it is that evidence-based. But I'm thinking if we write that into the referral that we have made the referral, and that was in the referral that we referred the kid to ADAPT.
If they went.
If they
but
went.
But if they, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what if they don't go?
Yeah. What if they don't go?
even if you made the attempt.
Well, I think that if we're making that attempt, then there's still
Then you've done your.
There was
kind of a refusal clause in that, but we have to have used these steps that were these evidence-based ones, and it can't be through the same system. So ADAPT runs through JJS.
Right, and then we have to use a different system.
Yeah, it can't, all three cannot go through the same system.
But remember,
so you have to have these different.
You only had to use one, though. You only had to use one, so we didn't have to, because we were thinking we had to use two different evidence-based programs, and you didn't. You only had to use one.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
So
I don't know.
You could use Aspire, and that's, or
no.
ADAPT.
ADAPT.
No,
you can use ADAPT.
You could use ADAPT, but I don't think
enough?
For your second referral you can use ADAPT.
So do we have enough resources to?
Well,
I think
you do. I think here you do. I don't know if I do in Greenville.
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, is there enough places to send somebody three different places
well,
before?
That's the,
is that something
I think
that needs
we have,
to go to the state
I think
board
we
and say,
have, I think we have resources, but whether they'll consider them evidence-based. It's just like we had JJS complete Why Try.
Uh-huh.
Well, they came back to us at that meeting and stated that Why Try was not an evidence-based program.
Wow.
I'm just wondering if it's something that needs to
so
be brought up like with the state level and say, okay, this is great if you're in the Salt Lake area, but
mm-hmm.
Green River, you're lucky
yeah.
to have practicality.
Right. Well, you know, and that's my thing too, is we have our teachers working with our teen center, and they're helping kids, they're doing things, and so, but I know they'll come back and say, well, that program
is
you know,
count?
That's not going to count because they're not doing evidence-based intervention.
Right, it's not one of the recognized.
Right.
Well, and this
so
applies to elementary schools too, and so, you know, even at the secondary, there's more programs created for secondary middle school
mm-hmm.
than there is at elementary,
mm-hmm.
so it's even more
mm-hmm.
worrisome as an elementary school. In
yeah,
situation.
It really is.
One of the good things we also learned about is that there are programs that are family-based ones where they'll actually go into the home.
There are.
Family
there,
first.
Yeah,
the family first.
But families first, you know, depending on where it runs through, if you're strengthening families, doesn't count if they're already doing ADAPT because it's run through the same agency.
Because it's JJS.
But there are some great family resources that
uh-huh.
that we're just finding out about.
Mm-hmm.
So that do have these evidence-based programs where they actually go into the homes and don't just work with the individual students, but also work with the parents and more of the family dynamics.
Yeah. I think the best thing that we found out was